Sugandhi Iyer for the Beyond Earth Show, and we are here to introduce your host to you, Ray Trujillo. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Sugandhi.
How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. And everyone who's listening, we have the show Beyond Earth. It's to discuss whether we are really alone. Are we really alone on this planet, in this universe, in all universes? Are we the only creatures? Does Earth support life? Of course, it does. We know that. But is it the only planet that supports life? Or is there something else out there? So are we really alone, Ray? And Ray is your host. She's here to talk to you about everything. She's an expert in all these subjects. Ray, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm so pleased to be here today.
And what do you want to say to our amazing audience? And of course, remember, whoever wants to call in can call in and ask questions, share something that they have seen or heard or even thought of. It doesn't really matter. So Ray, you were so interested in star seeds.
Oh yes, absolutely. Star seeds and the emanation of the divine interconnectedness, in which, where do we come from? And there's, of course, various theological theories and religious spectrums and non-religious spectrums and scientific equations, and many things at the end of the day have a common denominator of a parallel end result, in which the genesis of ourselves, and whether it be through God or through just the consciousness of the cosmic divine order, which is essentially can be adhered with God, of course. But in the scientific and the biological realm, in which there's so much debate about what has constructed and what is the genesis of ourselves and therefore the Earth, the planet, and what came first, there's much debate about the Big Bang Theory and who created the world, the universe, and so forth. And so when you actually just take away all of the hypotheses and the facts that we have and the discourse about what could be, what could not be, right? We can't deny that there's so much that we still have yet to discover, uncover, to learn. And there is something within our inherent human selves, in our primitive mind, and then in our divine mind, in which there is that concept in which we cannot literally denounce. That are we here alone? What else is out there? How are we gravitated towards the stars and the celestial planet, the celestial kingdom? And we can delve into that further. But what is the emanation of ourselves into that intrigue, into the mystery of that otherworldly, outerworldly, vast consciousness that's external of our human design in this exact moment in which we have our the fragments of our mind in which, okay, we're going to compartmentalize and then decompartmentalize this and break down structure and so forth. But there is a divinity that is in that supreme order in one way or another that we cannot denounce. There is something beyond. And so perhaps one could disagree or agree with what I'm going to say, but this is all, you know, open discussion, of course, and open theory, yet with our DNA and where we come from. And, you know, Carl Sagan himself, you know, I don't want to misquote him, but we are all, you know, made of stardust, right? And so what truly is the origin in which we are aligned with, in combination, in conjunction with God or with whatever anyone else wants to believe or not believe, correct? So when there's this fascination with the outer world and the otherworldly spectrum of what is beyond, there's such a thing with the starseed mindset in which there's a connectivity to ancient past civilizations that we can also explain and go further into the fact that, parallel universes and so forth, and how are we such an electric universe at the same time with so much, and I'll get into synchronicity because synchronicity aligns with this as well, and also with the divine order of the angelic realm. And there are angelic realms that do correspond with, let's say, the starseed construct, as there are angelic realms that are literally in that prescribed order, let's say, to the solar system, to the galactic system, the planets, to our Earth, Mother Gaia, and then also into ourselves individually. And that I can extend into also. But with the star seed mentality, the star seed origin, that intrigue into that is that perhaps if one believes in reincarnation or not, or that if we're having a duplicity here on Earth in which we have all these moving vehicles of our, let's say, the Merkava wheel, we could extend into that also. I can bookmark that in my mind. But what is the genesis? And so when we look above in the vastness of our solar system, the vastness of the light years away, and what connects with the present, the past, and beyond, is it all in the same construct of the here and now, in the present moment? And what was in the past, could that also be part of the present moment for this particular dimension? So all of these interdimensional qualities in which we apply them into one whole sum of, we typically 99% could think that we are definitely not alone. And then there's also people that might say, no, we're definitely alone. But it looks as if more of the theories and the hypotheses of things, and just the intrigue that is on a common consensus across the globe, equates to that there is the further mystery that, it is not just this one dimensional or even a third dimensional state, what transcends into the fifth dimensional and beyond. So that is what we can start with, if you'd like, about the starseed transmissions, emanations, the origin of such.
So, Ree, there's been a lot of articles coming out, and the articles are about aliens, and it's very, very fascinating. How come so many articles are coming out on aliens? And let me read a couple of titles, more than a couple, actually, of these titles of articles that are coming out. For example, I don't know if this is alien, but fishermen catch mermaid creature in their nets. So, there's a photograph and about a fisherman who's caught a mermaid. And then why ants, not humans, might be the first animal that aliens want to study. That one was funny. And then another one. You have this one here. This is one, let me tell you. I wonder, yeah, broccoli emits gas that can point to existence of life on alien planets. That's one. And then here you have, it sounds funny, but laughing gas could be the key to detecting aliens. What I'm saying is quite few articles are coming out about aliens. And I read one where they say that a lot of alien spacecraft material has been found in space, and like millions, billions, tons of it. Then another one I read is of a CBI officer who admitted to being on site and having seen live aliens and, of course, their spacecraft, etc. You know of Roswell, right? They talk about Roswell and the UFO and Roswell.
Yes.
And so the CBI officer says he was there. He saw live aliens. If so much information exists and so many articles, and what I just read out is just a few of the articles that are coming out, then could there be something, some kind of truth? Are we really alone, Ray?
Well, all of those articles do not surprise me, and thank you for sharing them because they're fascinating. And there's much debate about, let's say, disclosure of sorts. So we'll keep it at that just for the sake of the show for right now, so I don't digress. But with disclosure, so we'll bookmark that. What has been going on since we could even begin, since the beginning of time, since the beginning of human civilization, there's been always someone somewhere who has been an eyewitness to a very mysterious account that was tangible to their human eye, to their naked sight, so to speak, and in which they either experienced it right before them or heard of a detailed eyewitness account from a trustworthy source in which that person is not under any sort of illusion or having any sort of psychosis or schizophrenia attack in any sense, or under certain, let's say, influences of chemical substance, sacred or non-sacred substance. So there has been this long-term fascination with the unknown, and there are oftentimes those that are in a particular position in society throughout the ages, whether it be through a certain religious doctrine, political doctrine, whatever it may be, scientific, whatnot, things that are just so difficult to disprove that sometimes the easiest thing to do in the human nature when one cannot, and when one holds the title of the all-knowing, which God or the universe is the all-knowing, yet when one human, in essence, is declaring that it is just this way. There's no way around it. It's impossible that there's a mermaid that exists. It's impossible that dinosaurs existed. There's people that don't think dinosaurs exist at all. So I'm just saying, it's impossible that there's other life forms. It's impossible that such other, let's say, beings exist. And then we have the contrary in which, no, I saw it. I experienced it. I found a giant fossil. I found giants. And the Smithsonian actually has literally been, there's been much controversy with the Smithsonian actually burying the giants, 9 feet tall humans, into the ocean. Into the ocean, because, and that is also part of the Book of Enoch, and we can talk about that also today or another show for sure. But all of these examples in which we are being told that that is not possible or it is possible, it is part of, I would say, the control mechanism of a certain, let's say, mass hypnosis in which we are inherently feeling something is not as we are told it is, or not as we are shown it is. And so when an eyewitness, let's just say, sees a Loch Ness monster, or sees a mermaid, right? Or sees an alien, or and experiences it, there is much of one part of the spectrum that will say that they're defying the laws of what the nature should be. They're defying the laws of what the spirit should be. They're defying the laws of God. They're defying the laws of social construct and so forth. So this paradigm that exists is so prevalent throughout the world because this has been going on since the beginning of time. Even, people that would proclaim, in Jesus being that He's supernatural. Yes, he's the divine physician, the healer. And then other people would say, oh, that the Pharisees would say, no, you know, that's blasphemy itself. That's the Son of God. So even back to the times in our existence as human beings in which we are to see things that are truly there, tangible occurrences in which we know what we saw, we know what we eyewitnessed, we know what we heard from a trustworthy source. And then we're kind of trained and conditioned to keep the veil over us. But to go back into your question about why is it at this moment that so much is being, let's say, exposed? Well, we are in a preparation of a higher consciousness. We are in a preparation phase of our world and the unity of ourselves in which much disclosure is being, let's say, permeated into society, into the world, into individuals, unto individuals that may or may not have had an interest, or those that did have an interest, or those that had extreme vast interest in a variety of these components. Yet one big thing is that we have our basically our Earth shield, the grand solar minimum, and it's diminishing. And so I have a personal theory, yet, you know, there's people who are the expert on this, so I don't want to, you know, speak of anything that is contrary to what their expertise is. Yet from what I've noticed personally and from other people, and also from the accounts of what you're sharing with me, is a total reflection of that the grand solar minimum, the Earth's magnetic shield diminishing in some sense, the experiences in which people are feeling and witnessing more of a heightened sense of psychic phenomena, also transmuting through the veil of the what was in a way perceived as just a, you know, one-dimensional sort of possibility, and now there is more of a frequency in the higher frequencies. And so our Earth is truly raising in such a high vibratory place, and the circumference of all of the spheres, so to speak, and the concentric spheres of the illumination of all the beings that are literally out there and here, and we can say omnipresent as well, who are here by locating back and forth and providing us certain information to help us open our eyes, because we have been, let's say, suppressed for so long from truths and ancient truths and extreme truths of vast importance for our human design to better understand our genesis, where we come from, whether it's spiritual, religious, non-religious, however it may be, whatever is, you know, preferable to the individual. But there is a great deal of the unknown that is just being exposed left and right, left and right. And just think of, you know, you're in beautiful India right now, and you have access to a great deal of information. And in various parts of the world, there are people that are, let's say, prohibited from certain knowledge, right? So let's just look at what you have found in a short time span. And very interesting, very fascinating, very intriguing articles and so forth. Yet, when you look at that, just imagine how many more accounts are happening and occurring on a minutely, daily, weekly, monthly basis. And when we expand that into years and years and years of a perpetual stream of knowledge, insight, whatever is imparted into and upon us, there is so much more to behold than just this dimension, than just this planet Earth, which we love planet Earth. We want to protect planet Earth. We want to, you know, beautify the consciousness of everyone and everything. Yet we also have the, let's say, the quelling desire and need for what else is out there. And in my interpretation, how I assimilate in my thought process, I feel that we have these various beautiful emanations, interpretations being presented to us for us to interpret in our own way when we are given such permission to perceive and receive certain information to where we can make our own assessment of it and critically think and apply those creative processes, our spiritual processes, our religious or non-religious processes, however in which works for each and every one of us. And that is a very important thing. And then with the disclosure of sorts, there, I think because we are entering another awakening, and there's much discussion about the golden age, the Aquarian age, and that is another amazing discussion that we can also have at some point. Yet, because so much is being revealed, so much is being transmuted through the veil, in which that veil, in which I spoke of in previous shows, and which we, you and I discussed, the veils. And when the veil is starting to diminish and become more transparent, and therefore we can see through the prismatic spectrums, the celestial realms, the alien realms, the hybrid realms, in which that mermaid, in which you just shared with me, to me, I would say that that's an emanation that is a hybrid example, a tangible biological construct of tissue. And, you know, I didn't see it myself to analyze it, but I've seen the photographs and I've read some articles about those throughout the ages in which they found mermaids, truly. And then it's just quashed and it's just buried. And then there's distraction left and right to where, oh, look here, look to the right when we should look left, or look left when you should look right, or look up instead of looking down, vice versa. And so when those, let's say, depictions come about and arise that really defy the quote unquote basic laws of what should be real and what is false, what is illusion, what is fallacy, what is hyperbole versus what is just an illusion, right? What, oh, that's just nonsense, right? But who truly is to say that it's nonsense? Because if it is occurring in a multitude of ways across the globe, various occurrences, then who can deny that construct of that perceptibility in which those instances in fact occurred and continue to occur?
So, Ree, these articles that I read, they are available on the internet for everybody. And yes, I'm traveling to India. However, these articles are about people having experiences worldwide.
Yes.
But you see, this one, research claims that there could be 4 quintillion alien spacecraft in our solar system. So they're finding things. This is a famed Harvard astronomer who has come up with this idea and research information saying that there is so much spacecraft, alien spacecraft, in our own backyard. And by backyard, they mean space backyard, of course.
Yes.
So, yeah, so all of this information, it does exist, and it's for people to go out there and to find. And the diminishing shield. Now, we are not talking about climatic changes, correct? We're talking about the shield that...
The Earth's magneto shield, in which because of that, because it is diminishing, and this is my theory, and other people can agree or disagree, or they might know more than I do, of course, but that because of the magneto shield, I personally have witnessed even more supernatural encounters since the, let's say, further inception of the magnetic shield in that diminishing state, in which it would only make sense to me that more of these transmissions from the alien kingdom, from the beautiful, divine, supernatural essence of beings that are of just this amazing intelligence, this hyper intelligence that, you know, is just so fascinating, in which all of these accounts are just starting to present itself in so much of a way that it cannot be suppressed further, that there has been such a let's say a coordinated effort to suppress a lot of knowledge throughout our ages, and especially with aliens. And we've had many, as you know, just amazing cosmologists, amazing researchers, amazing people that have been literally speaking of these things for so long, and they were literally mocked or scoffed or, let's say, challenged in ways that were not favorable. And so now that I believe, because the magneto shield is diminishing, it's only making sense that so much of the supernatural is able to come through the veil in a way, because, you know, there's a lot we can learn from that. And so it would only make sense as well because of disclosure. And when I speak of that, these things are happening around the world, there are people in various places that are, they're blocked from seeing those things. If they were to type it in the internet, perhaps the region they're at, there is a firewall that they cannot see that. And why is that? Because sometimes there's just, that's just how things happen, like I was mentioning. But where you are able to express this, and it's so fascinating. It's a beautiful, let's say, quality to just keep learning because of all these amazing individuals who have been expressing that there's life beyond Earth, that there are, let's say, these, I like to just call them divine beings, that how can we denounce and defy the fact or the notion that they exist? And here we are seeing and experiencing these eyewitness accounts from, you know, renowned Harvard astrophysicists, professors, cosmologists, and so forth.
So Ray, the internet was officially out there in 1983. So they're saying January 1, 1983 is considered to be the official birthday of the internet. Prior to this, the ideas of the internet obviously existed decades ago, but this is what is out there, that January 1st, 1983 is the official birthday of the internet, which means that prior to that, there was less communication abilities, modalities, methods, et cetera, existing on Earth, which means that this could be another reason, obviously, of why there's more information accessible, like people are able to access more information readily and fast. So, is this another reason that people are becoming more and more aware of this, the fact that there is more information out there? And of course, all the firewalls and everything that different countries have put into place to prevent people from gaining information does hinder. Of course. But then, you know, information can pass through anyways. Even people traveling, there's so many ways for that to happen. So, Ray, considering all this, should we be scared that all this alien information is coming in, or that there is going to be more alien activity that people are going to observe? Should we be scared about it? Or should we be happy?
I'll respond with your most recent question first. I personally don't believe we should be scared or frightened in any way of the alien encounters and the exponential probabilities of what, you know, can further entail with more, let's say, experiences, sightings, and also discovery. I feel at the helm of myself that it's time for us to actually be able to truly experience, because it's actually not, to me, in any way frightening. It's actually, we're all part of this divine consciousness, correct? In which, it's a part of who we are, which is the star seeds. And so to me, it just feels like a brother, sister, or like a family. Like, to me, that's how I interpret it. But the one fashion, though, in which I'll delve into is that it's the other individuals that are frightened of the people that are purveying knowledge and purveying the wisdom of the archetypal kingdoms, in which, they've made certain provisions to enact various degrees of control over such what is being taught, what is being learned. And we're going back all the way through history before the internet, where books were being, prohibited, and this was removed from a book, and this was removed from an ancient text, or scrubbed out, or buried, right? So you speak of extreme accuracy, everything you just, prefaced with, but I absolutely believe that it is actually not part of any of the fear construct. To me, it's actually part of the divine illumination, the divine awakening, in which it's part of the overall goodness of us to have this connection, because it actually helps us to discern in many ways what else is out there and where we come from, besides God, besides the Genesis, besides any of those thoughts and personal beliefs and whatnot. But it truly is part of the long-standing mystery, the long-standing inquiry of what else is out there. We can go back to Plato, back to Aristotle times. We could go back to Copernicus. We could go back. We can go way back to all of those times in which, they're studying and they're looking at the stars, and that's what they're. They thought that, God was the sky, right? We could go back to ancient Egyptians as well, all of those, that God is in the sky and all the stars are angels, and then the vast components of that. And it's just been inherent within ourselves and our primitive minds and our DNA and our spirit mind, and what is out there. So this is literally ingrained in our self, from back to our ancestrals to everything. It's just a part of our consciousness and our collective consciousness too, as well. And so I hope I answered that.
Yes, you did answer that we shouldn't be scared of this, and that this is
Exactly.
already part of who we are. It just got blocked out.
Yes,
This got blocked
precisely.
out. Correct. But why then so many efforts to stop alien information from being readily available to people? Why
Yes.
aren't they stopping it? What do the powers that be? What did they suspect? Or why is it that they stop information?
Yes, I'll be happy to further elaborate on that, because that's an excellent question. So I touched upon it just briefly, but I'll extend upon that now, in which there's certain individuals that are in a certain set of control over certain parts of society. And this is an archetype that has existed forever. Whenever there's knowledge, and there's also sacred knowledge, and there's also happy divine knowledge, access to those things, there's always going to be a certain type of, as you call it, powers that be that want to block that want to, let's say, prohibit that. Because once we actually know that, once we actually are tangibly, besides the people that have already experienced these encounters, right? We're speaking on a grand overall sum, where when you and I see an elephant, we know that the elephant exists, correct? When we see a diamond, we know a diamond exists. When we see a tree exists, correct? And I see you see me, we know that we in ourselves, each other exists. Yet when we actually experience something so beautiful and so profound of this just divine intelligence that is unexplainable to the common man, unless someone has been really like seeking and searching and just beholding the moment in which they can actually experience this, which many people have. That's why there's such an this interest, because it's part of in our inherent, let's say, origin. And so when we actually can see and perceive and are told that it's, wow, this does exist, well, that's when those people that are, let's say, quote unquote, the powers that be on earth declare, because they want to be the ones that behold the keys to all knowledge, and they dictate what we can know, what we cannot know,
Is
because
this
there is
something to do with control?
absolutely, yes. And so absolutely. So it's not that they're like, oh, we love all of you so much that we don't want you to ever know that this is bad and this is a fearful event. In fact, it's the opposite. Whenever there's something that's very good and very beautiful and very positive that is unexplainable, and then you and I can critically think, critically assess in a beautiful way, and utilize our divine source of our creativity and our spiritual gifts, and then we see the facts that are before us, that are the facts in this moment. We're just going to speak in conjecture of, that you and I saw a beautiful, beautiful alien, and that is our fact. But if someone tells us, no, that was just a fiction of your imagination, that was a fragmented, you disassociated, you're having a, a moment like a psychological break. And that is, in essence, because there's that control in which we are not to know of anything else and look upon the quote unquote powers that be on this earth, that they behold all the knowledge, that they are the all-knowing, in which they are not. No one is all-knowing, right? No one on earth is all-knowing. But that is because of the coordinated effort of that, the, let's say, learned behavior, inherent learned behavior of what we are told, oh, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. But it exists, right? You know that, miracles exist. Miracles can happen. Miracles happen all the time. But someone could say, miracles don't happen. No, they don't. Well, who's right and who's wrong? Well, the person who's experienced miracles, and I witness miracles all the time, that's a positive account. And so the fact that we have this divine intelligence and this, let's say, the alien species, in which they are, to me, part of a transmission of a starseed emanation of like a galactic kingdom. We're all part of that. And they have given so much knowledge and information that is positive for us. But we are, let's say, from the fear-based component, it's only normal in the human construct to have the negative fear-based separative ego, in which that is part of maybe, let's say, in our adrenal system, in our survival system, in which, oh, we see a woolly mammoth, let's run. We have to hide from the woolly mammoth or freeze, right? That's normal. Yet, in the concept of what is actually interchangeable in that interconnectedness of the divine and of the earthly plane, in which it's actually all one. And it's a very, very beautiful comprehension to apply that there is no fear. In fact, one could even say, do they fear us? I don't think they do. But I think it's those that are in fear of what we know and what we can know and what we can apply with that knowledge and impart that into the world and have a further illumination and expand our consciousness. And that is what the powers that be can be afraid of at times. I hope I explained that.
So we have some callers, I think, trying to call in.
Certainly.
And Don, are we ready to take those callers? Hello? We would love to take some callers right now.
Do what? I'm sorry.
Oh, hi, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm trying to be okay. I was seeing if this is a paranormal line that people could share their alien abduction stories, or I've had a hypnosis session done 2 years ago my man died of COVID last year, so I'm living in Norman, Oklahoma for now, but I'm from Texas originally.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful. Would you like to share with us?
Okay, do y'all do the, y'all share like anything about ghosts, like real ghost hauntings and anything about UFOs and aliens? Do y'all
yes.
share anything like that? Or?
You can sure. share
okay,
any
I'm
of
a
your experiences, past, yes.
Yeah, I'm a past alien abductee. I'm 45 years old. I was taken when I was a teenager. I don't know exactly what years. I went through hypnosis with a guy. He's from Texas, metaphysics and QHHT. That I did with him in 2020. I try to get past, you know, there's certain blocks of aliens put in your head when you get it taken. And I did a session, my first hypnosis session, but I did it once. I don't remember everything, but I remember a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a place to share the stories or?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
You're doing wonderfully. And thank you for sharing before you proceed. I appreciate that. We appreciate you.
Okay, yes, absolutely. So I just go, you can call any time here, right? Or is this a line you call any time? Or?
When we're live every other Saturday at 1 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time, and you're live on air right now.
Oh, I am. Okay, I'm so sorry about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. We want you to talk. We want you to share. Please continue.
Okay, yes. My real name is Terry. Terry Ray Gowdy, but I go by Dakota. I had experience as a teenager with the Grays. The Grays, the most common aliens there was. It was in Yukon, Oklahoma, back when I was a teenager. I'm not sure what years. I can't get past that from the hypnosis session. It still blocks in my head. I can't get past it. I was taken by, there were short, like, little gray aliens. They call them the Grays. Big almond-shaped black eyes. You know, the big heads, the grayish blue skin. I was taken by them. Basically, they put something in my nose. I don't know what else they put in my body. I don't know if I have an implant or not. I was taken mm-hmm. out of the bedroom. The only thing I remember after that is I was laying on a metal table. Like, you know, like a metal table, like I was on their spaceship, but I couldn't see anything. It just looked mm-hmm. like a hospital room, right?
Yes.
Okay, and I saw a tall gray, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard of these before, right? The tall gray?
Yes, we have. You're
yeah, they're the
great.
Most common.
Continue.
A lot of abductees have experienced them. And I've seen these before, and they had something in their hand, and I was laying, well, not to be weird on the radio here, but I was nude. I didn't have any clothes on to be appropriately. And they were looking at me. They had a needle in their hand. I don't know what they did after that. I saw the little grays talking, you know, with the other alien. And that's all I remember on the table, at the metal table at the time on the spaceship. I don't know about the missing time or anything, if I had it.
Okay.
I'm sure there was missing time with the subduction. But that's what I can remember so far. I don't know if they're visiting me again or not. I've been having dreams about them lately. After all these years, I'm 45 now. I don't know if they're visiting me again or what, but I know I'm chosen by them. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Some people are chosen, some humans aren't.
Correct.
But I feel like they're coming for me again. I saw one in my dream recently. I heard the dreams about them can be real. I'm not sure on that. I didn't want to say for sure, so I wouldn't be lying, you know?
Of course.
So that's what I'm talking about. So one, it was like greenish colored with the big almond-shaped black eyes. So I know that was a reptilian kind. I know they work with the grays. The gray,
yes.
They're in charge of everything. Yes. So far, that's the experience I've had. I don't know if I'm being taken again, if they're coming for me again, but I've had dreams of UFOs lately in the past couple of months. And mm-hmm. I've seen them in my dream. They were telling me something. I don't know if I wanted to learn what their language they were telling me. I'm not sure what it was. If it was just a dream or if that was real. I know my abduction was real. But this dream could be real because a lot of abductees have said when they've had dreams about them, the dreams could be real. They want you to make they want to make you think it was a dream.
Correct.
Yes. And so far, that's my experience.
Well,
whether I have an implant in my nose or not, I don't know.
No, this
and
is
that's my story so far.
Because the way I hear it, I feel this is so genuine. I feel this is so real. I have this gut feeling that, you know, these experiences or the experience that you had was extremely real, because I don't see, I see that you're able to recall some of it, and then some of it obviously is blocked out. And if this was untrue, you would be able to just tell a story, but you're not telling a story. You're telling facts. You're telling something that really happened to you.
Exactly. Because there's no reason to make this shit up, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. What? And I can feel the truth. Ray, what do you think? What's your thought on this?
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Dakota, so much for calling us today and sharing your experience. I completely feel the vibration emanating from yourself and in the state of your consciousness, in which I want to just remind you that from what I feel from everything that you really beautifully described, that it was not a hypnopompic hallucination, which is what a lot of times people might say. Oh, that was a dream or in-between state.
Or I'm on drugs or this or that.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Or people think my family doesn't really believe me. And this is hard for me because my mom is a good person. They're Christians. I'm not judging nobody, but she doesn't believe me, but I don't understand that. I mean, they want to believe in a God, but they don't want to believe in aliens, UFOs, and the paranormal, which I don't get.
Well, you know, I will tell you that I'm a Christian, but I'm also very multifaceted. You know, but I believe, and I don't believe in judging anyone, but I will tell you that there is so much of a parallel unification between God and these beautiful, divine, intelligent beings. And so who is to say that they don't exist? And we believe you, Sugandhi, and I believe you, and I guarantee you that the majority of other individuals that are listening today or listening tomorrow or other people have a very, let's say, a communion with you with this, because this is, I would say, your the participation of yourself with the starseed communion is, in essence, I believe, yes, you are one of the chosen individuals, because you, and I'm not, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but you survived, right? You are a testament
The experiments were very painful and bad, but at the same time, they're doing it for a reason. They don't just, not everybody is chosen specifically on this planet. There's a reason behind it.
Precisely,
there's a reason for that.
You know, there's a saying, of course, that, you know, some are purified, others purify, and some are enlightened and others enlightened, and some are perfected and others make perfect. And so, you see, there's a hierarchy of various degrees of in the chain of command of the human consciousness and of worldly events and so forth. And so to me, I wanted to ask you this question, because you were mentioning if you were having some dreams coming through lately and you weren't sure if they're dreams or their experiences. I wanted to ask you one particular question. When you are awakened from, let's say, when you come into this, back into the third dimension, I'm just going to say it that way because I can't say that it's a dream or not. I feel that you're actually having these intermittent experiences. That's what I feel. I feel that they're not just dreams in which you're recently having. And I feel that, that's what I feel. But I wanted to ask you, from your wisdom, from your assessment, what your opinion of this is. Do you have any sort of like telepathy with them or any telekinesis with them? Have you experienced any of that that you're aware of?
Well, I have experienced. I feel like there's something in me that they put in me. I don't know for sure that I'm being watched, because I know a lot of the things that are going on in the world that some humans on this planet wouldn't understand.
Of course.
Planet, actually, I believe. I'm saying I believe this. I believe this planet belongs to them. We're on the wrong planet, is what I believe.
Yes.
I know that
yes.
sounds crazy and fake, but it's not.
Right.
I believe we're on the wrong planet. This planet belonged to them thousands of years ago, and they're going to take it back eventually. And the chosen, I believe, will be okay. And, you know, a lot of human race, that's why a lot of these things are going on. And I believe aliens are watching us, you know.
Yes.
It's sad to say, like, some work for the government, which, you know, is not a good thing, but I mean, that's what I believe, that they're watching everybody. I believe that they're watching their abductors too, or I mean abductees, because they're the abductors. So they abducted me. So I believe they're watching me all the time. I don't know if they put something in me or what. They could have put a chip, an implant of some sort. I'm sure you've heard of other abductees having this experience as well.
And I don't want
to interrupt. That's how I feel.
But I wonder if there's any sort of like a Lemurian crystal. When I speak of a Lemurian crystal, or like a quartz crystal, or a, let's say, a crystal recorder, does that resonate with you in any way? When I speak of that, of that material, it's okay if it doesn't.
Kind of from it. Kind of from what exactly is that? I'm curious, like to ask you.
Okay. Oh, sure. Oh, certainly. And maybe the next show we can delve into that. The ancient Lemurians, as you are familiar with, and most everybody, but you know, there are certain, let's say, crystals in which we're spirit and energy conductors, right? And they're conduits of energy. And then there's also the recording, the Akashic records and so forth, all of this beautiful knowledge imparted into literally God's jewelry and their transmitters. So to me, what I pick up is that I believe that they put in a Lemurian type of crystal within you. It's safe. It's not, you know, causing any harm. But that's what I was feeling when you were describing, so that's why I asked you that question. So
Lemurian
crystal.
Now.
It's like beautiful, and it has recorders. It has there's knowledge within there, and you can program them as well. And that's something you can look up if you like, Lemurian quartz crystal.
Okay, I can look that up for sure, ma'am. I absolutely, because
the next
that's
show
very
we
interesting.
Can maybe discuss. Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. So Gandhi, did you have anything that you wanted to say before?
Yes, of course. I want to thank Dakota for coming here and talking to us. And you know, more than welcome to share on our next show and come back and talk to us over here, because there's so many people listening and they all want to know if what they've experienced is real. And we believe you. We believe you because we hear the truth in your voice.
Yes.
And of course, you know, we're at the end of the show right now. And, you know, we want to talk to you again. So feel free to call in next time.
Yes.
We will be here. Not the next Saturday, but the Saturday after that. So every other Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, I really thank you, Dakota. And Ray, anything, any parting words before we leave for today?
Well, Dakota, we believe you as testament of your experiences, and just know that you know your truth, and that's the holy grail of your truth. And we believe you, and just be in the state of your calm presence, that you are part of the divine consciousness. You are part of a beautiful, fantastic, planetary, future, galactic emanation of all that is divine and holy. No matter what anyone else may tell you that's contrary or polarized to what I say to you, know your truth.
Yeah.
And we have conviction with your truth, and we declare that now for you.
Oh, absolutely. I do too. Yeah, I believe that, you know, everybody's got their own beliefs and different things, but yes, I mean, I believe in all of this. Like, I'm sure you've heard Bigfoot stories, alien abductions, haunting spirits. Yeah, everything. Yeah. So absolutely. I would love to share again this next weekend.
Yes, please call us. Our next show is December 17th, I believe. Well, wait, you look on the thing, because I don't want to say the wrong date, but please call us in and share anything else that you'd like with us. We'd be happy to hear from you.
And until then, we're saying bye and signing out for the Beyond Earth show. Ray Trujillo and Sugandhi Iyer, thank you. Until next time.
Really alone. The Beyond Earth Show.